Kum lena na block gemara. We're up to Dav Chav Tes Amud Aleph, and we were learning here a machlekes regarding a garment that was folded over. And we had two arguments in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer whether it is tamei or not, and whether you can use to light it. And we had two explanations as to regarding the machlekes of lighting regarding.
Sorry, one second. Can I just get your beyond? He was just calling in. So
we had two opinions. We had regarding Tumah, we had that Adar Abba said that they're arguing is about a, if you fold the beged, does it lose the status of a garment, which is what Rabbi Akiva says. So it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. And Rabbi Loza says it does not lose the status of being a garment. And as far as lighting it is, we said that it's talking about, according to one opinion, it's talking about that it was a Friday, it was Yom Tov. And then we went through the whole thing that if it's Yom Tov, and it was a, you started out with a garment, and then by holding the candle there the whole time, you're turning into less than a garment, you create a new product. It's a noilid. It's like Shever Keli. And therefore he says that you're not allowed to light it as well on Friday, which is Yom Tov. Everyone please mute. Rabbi Akiva says that no, that it's not a beged at all already from before Yom Tov, because once you fold it over, it's no longer a garment, and therefore it's already a Shever Keli, and there's no problem. And Rabbi said the argument is whether you can light a garment, you have to light it first once to make it easy to light a second time or not. Okay, so now when we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda about that you, a complete garment is not muktzah, but a broken garment, if it breaks a Yom Tov, it's muktzah because of noilid, so we'll talk about that. Amar Rabbi Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that Masikin Bekelim, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that you can, what do you call it? You're allowed to on Yom Tov use for fire Kelim, full garments, because it's not muktzah. But the aim masikim is shivra kelim. But you're not allowed shivra kelim. You're not allowed to use broken parts because that is noilid. For broken yom tov, it is noilid. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon matter. Rabbi Shimon allows it. Next thing is masikim b'tamarim. You're allowed to use dates. It's not muktzah to move dates around. Ochlam. If you ate the dates, ain masikim b'garinim. But the seed, the pip inside is new. It wasn't there previously. It was concealed, and therefore it's like noilid. That is muktzah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon again matter. Third case, masikin be'egoizim, you're allowed to use nuts, light nuts. And ochum, if you ate the contents, a masikin be'klipa same. But the shell is new, before it was part of a nut, now it's separated, so it's new, it's noilid, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon matir. So the three cases are basically echoing the same principle. So why do you have to mention it three times? It's tzricha, we need all three. Each one has a chiddush l'gavi the others. The yashmini kamais, we only knew the case of the kelim. Bahikom Rabbi Yehuda Mishun Rekoda Keli, previously it was a full Keli, a full utensil garment. Bahash the Sheva Keli, now it's broken. It's a brand new item. That's Noilid. Bahavale Noilid, it was created on Yom Tov, also it's forbidden. Avo Tamari, when it comes to the dates, the seed was there before, the pip was there before. Mikoda Gadina Bahash Gadina, nothing changed, it was there before. Perhaps that's not really called Noilid. It's only a question of whether you saw it was visible or not. Eimo Shapadami. If you could tell me about pips, I would say it was concealed, nobody saw it, now it's exposed. That also is a form of noilid, and therefore it's muktzah. I would clip your gazin, the shell of a nut, or a walnut. Previously you could have seen the shell, now you see the shell. As far as the shell is concerned, nothing changed. So that's nothing really new. And nevertheless, it's considered new because before it was part of a nut, and now it's an entity on its own. And Teisha already explains more than that, that a pip inside the date is actually there to support the date, and therefore the pip at the time is considered food. And when you separate it from the date, it's no longer considered food now. Now it's considered just a pip, and therefore you actually changed it as well. It's not just a question of being exposed. Says the Gemara, Rav actually never said what he said. Figure it out from an incident. What happened? The Rav Ochal Tamri, Rav was once eating dates. Vishad the Kashiso of the Buchi, and he threw the pips into the stove. Amr Rabchia Bapachti, you son of great people, Kenegda the Yom Tov Asa. Had you done this on Yom Tov, that pip would have been Muktzah and allowed to, because it's Noilid. And therefore he assumed, since Rav holds of Muktzah generally, so he would agree with this about the pip, and that's how he concluded what he concluded. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda never heard of Rav, he just saw an incident, and then he went ahead and he went and made three cases out of it, And he just gleaned all that from that particular incident. The Gemara says, by the way, kiblu min ele kiblu min ele, because Rav Chiya said it, do we know for a fact that Rav accepted it? Rav Yehuda is saying he did, but how does he know? Toshma, come in here. The Chiyosa Rav Lebovel, Rav came down to Bovel, ochel tamri, ate dates, v'shod l'kashisa l'chayusa, and he tossed away the dates and the pips, and he gave it to the animals. My lab, we're talking about over here, the Farsiyasa, it was mature dates from, you know, the Parsium dates, which were very good quality dates. And then when you took all the food off, it just left a pip. And yet, he didn't treat it like muktzah. He threw it on Yom Tov, he gave it to the animals to eat. So it's proof that Balei Kibla, he did not accept Rav Chiya's words, and he believes it's not noilid, because the pip existed before, same pip now. So you're going to learn no proof. Maybe it was Barma Yasa, maybe it was from Aramaic. Aramean dates, and those dates, they're not, according to Rashi's pshat, they're not really that mature, so when you eat the flesh, some of the flesh remains with a pip, so therefore the pip, and that flesh you're allowed to move around, and that's why the pip is a muktzah, the chazi agavimayu, and therefore it's suitable because of the flesh. Amr says, masikin became, so there's no proof either way. The Rabbi Hananel says, actually, the idea is that those dates, the pip is edible, because it's very soft, and therefore it's actually food, not muktzah, no proof. He says you're allowed to burn, let's say, complete utensils. And not broken ones, so that's a question. Whenever you have a fire on Yom Tov, you have to move the fire around the woods, it should continue to cook and burn properly. So even if you put in a whole keli, after a couple of minutes, it falls apart, breaks apart, and you're going to stir it. So l'chayra, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muktzah. How can you? So what's the point? So why would you allow him to use a keli? Why aren't you chayshes? Maybe make a gzera that in a few minutes he's going to start tossing it around when it's broken and it's noilid, it's muktzah. Kivnali b'purta havla shivri kelim will become eventually broken. B'chir kama hapir b'sir kama hapir. So on Yom Tov you're going to be moving around muktzah stuff. So the Gemara, that's not a problem, because the prescription is to follow Rav Masna. Eitzim shenoshim in hadekel letanur b'yamtiv, that if you have, let's say, wood that fell off a tree, a palm tree, directly into the oven on yamtiv, now the chayit, it's unmukt, it's nailed. Yet, what you do is, mar be'eitzim mukhanim, you add some ordinary firewood that you prepare, set aside, and then masik, and then we say it's batul b'roiv, the mukt is batul b'roiv, you can do that. So the same thing over here also, that you put more wood in, proper wood, so therefore the broken kelim are batul b'roiv. Even though we have a rule, ein mevatel iser chatchila, you're not allowed to go ahead and mevatel iser, but over here, because there was wood there before, and then so the whole thing is only muktzah anyway, so we were lenient, and he said you can be marba, you can add more wood to remove any problems. Rabbi Nuna gives another pshat back to our Mishnah that says, an argument, Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbi Kiva, whether a beggar that's folded over, if it's tamei or not, mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, Rav Amnuna Amar, he says, Hocha bepochas mishloish ashreskim. We're talking about a beggar that's less than three tvachim, which means it's not suitable for rich, but it's more than three fingers, which means it is suitable for poor. It's between the rich and the poor. And here, it's considered the poor want to use it, so therefore it's choshev enough to mekabel tumah. But if the poor decided to use it as a shmat, as a rag, it has no value, then it loses its... it's chashivas. If it's three tvachim, by three tvachim, it does not lose chashivas because the material is large enough that regardless it retains its status. But when it's a smaller piece between three fingers and three tvachim, so now the question is, if chatchila they decided it's a shmat that's worthless, but then they did something that could perhaps counteract that. And the question is, what's considered counteracting? If you decided to preserve it for the future, that means you want it. But there's three different ways of preserving it. One is you put it in a box in a special place for it, which obviously means you want it. Then for sure you basically use it again as a proper garment, so it retains its chashivas to everybody. If you toss it in the bin, everybody agrees it's worthless. But then there is, you can either put it on a peg on the wall, which sounds like you still, it's not like putting it in a box, but it sounds like you're thinking maybe I'll come and use it again. Or you put it behind your door, which is a sort of lesser extent, but again, you didn't throw it out yet, but maybe I'll use it. And the question is, does that retain the status or not? So here we have an argument between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, and the same argument being our Mishnah. As Gemara is talking about, it's less, our Mishnah is talking about, it's less than three by three tvachim askin, but more than three fingers. We're talking about one of the leniencies of a rag, where you decide not going to really use it for anything purposeful. The other Rav Lezer Tamei, Rav Lezer considered the view, but Rabbi Kiva Tamei, Rabbi Kiva consists, now we learn, Pachas Meshpoisha Shloisha, if it's less than three hands and three fists. Shiskinu lepakak boisamech, he decided to use it like a rag, but to stop, to block over there one of the pipes in the bathhouse. Ula Nai boisakted, he needed a rag to be able to pick up the handles which are hot and to stir the food in the pot, so it has no value. Ula Kaner boisalechayim, to clean a mill. So bein milstav, bein min hamuchen, bein she'ein min hamuchen tummy, whether it's something that you prepared, which we'll see in a minute, doesn't mean you put it in the box, because everyone agrees then it's choshev. But min hamuchen is going to be the one you put on a peg, or bein she'ein min hamuchen means you put it on behind the door. It's less preparedness. Either one, tummy, it's still tummy, as long as you didn't toss it in the garbage, it still has some chashivas and some makabo tumma. Divir Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shudas agrees on both. He said, "Bein min hamuchen, whether you put it on a nail, on a peg, or bein shelo min hamuchen, you put it behind the door, tar. Because as long as you didn't put away in the box, once you designate it for something with no value, it remains that way. Rabbi Kiva makes sort of a compromise. Min hamuchen, if you put it on a peg, tummy, that means you're probably going to use it again, you gave it chashivas. Shelo min hamuchen, you put it behind the door, tar. Everyone agrees. Explains the following. Everyone agrees. Zorka ba'ashbi, toss it in the tip. Dibri hakat toy. Everyone holds that it's toy because it's no value anymore. Inichu b'kups, you placed it in the box. That means you showed us you want to use it again. Dibri hakat tummy. Then it's a shmat. Then it's a material. And it's a beged. Leinechelku elosh toler b'mogid. You hung it up on a peg. Oishin nichel achayid. That's behind the door. Rabbi Lezer saw, but Rabbi Lezer holds midlo zorka ba'ashbi by not throwing it away into the tip. That's a lie, you still want it. Umay korilei, so how come he calls one shaleiman hamuchen? Why is he called behind the door that's not prepared? Because the gabe kupsa la muchen, compared to a box, it's not really prepared. Rabbi Shuva, hold, midlei nicha be kupsa, by not putting in the box, definitely betuli bakla, you don't really want it. Umay korilei muchen, so why does he call, let's say, the peg as if it's prepared? Because the gabe ashba muchen, compared to throwing a tip, it's considered muchen. Rabbi Kiva, betoli b'mogel. When it comes, he makes a pshara. When it's hanging a peg, so with Rabbi Lezer, that means you really want it. It's still considered a beged. But b'hanicha achay adelus, when you put it behind the door, so with Rabbi Shua. Then later on, b'hodu beit Rabbi Kiva legabei Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Kiva changes his mind and he agrees to Rabbi Shua that as long as you don't put it in the box, it had, and you initially wanted to use it to block a pipe, it has no value. So long with kabbalim. And that's the machlekes in our Mishnah as well. It's less than three by three fists, more than three fingers. Rabbi Lezer says it's still makabel tumma. Rabbi Kiva says it's not. It's exactly this argument. You put it on the peg or behind the door. The Gemara Mamai, how do you know that's pshat in the Mishnah? On my Rabbi Mitani, it says psilas habeged, that you took the beged itself. My idiot, the Tani psilas beged. This is the psilas shel beged. If we're talking about a piece of a beged, it should say psilas shel beged. My psilas habeged. Why calling it psilas habeged? Sounds like the entire beged became a psilas. The entire beged, it's still a beged. It's still you haven't cut anything off the material. It's still the full size. No, but the machlekes is because you just only put you had in mind to use it for something worthless, and then you put it on a peg or a nail. How do we treat that? That's the machlekes. Talking about muksa, the Mishnah continues as well, or talking about also what kind of material you can lighting and everything else. La yakov adon shvefeder shalbeya. Don't go ahead and crack an egg. The Yamal Renu Shemin, and then fill it up with oil, beat Nenal Pihaner, and place it on top of a candle. And the purpose of that is Bishvil Shetehemunat Tefes, in order that it should drip into the oil, so continuously supply oil for the candle. You can't do that. Why not? You did it before Shabbos, because of the Gzeda. What are we worried about? We're worried you might take some of that oil on Yom Tov itself, on Shabbos. And the thing is, if you do that on Shabbos, you are being Mechaba. Either the Rosh says, let's say it's going to burn for 5 hours, and because of this it's going to burn for 4 hours, that's called kibbutz, which is a big thing regarding electricity and other things which we use as Rosh. Tosha says the reason is, and other Rishonim, that the fire immediately gets affected by it because the fire gets weaker. So according to Tosha, if the fire doesn't get any weaker right now, but let's say we're supposed to go out in 5 hours, and you decided to make it go out, like talking about they use all this regarding you want to change your Shabbos clock. We're supposed to go out at 1 o'clock in the morning. You want to bring it forward to 12 o'clock. Is that a problem? And that would be the machlekes that are showing. Then we go further. Vafili hichal cheres. Even if it's made out of clay, earthenware, that no way you're going to use that oil for yourself because it's so mias. Nevertheless, we're grateful. But Rabbi Yehuda's matter. Rabbi Yehuda's matter because of an incident that he saw and he felt that there should be het as we'll soon see. Avel im chibra hayotze mitchila. But if it was joined together, the Creator joined it together. In other words, the cup where the oil is coming from. is joined together with the ner, then everyone knows, you know, on Shabbos you don't touch it, so therefore we're not choishes you're going to use the oil from the cup either. Mutim neshekeli echatz, one kevi. Next part, leimal adon kaidash Hashem, and don't fill up a plate of oil. So a plate is next to it, separate from the candle. We then it's at a ner, and you have the candle on, in one cup, and then the wick goes out of that cup into this plate, which is separate. The yitin reichab silba toiche b'shvil shetei shevitz. Don't do that. But again, same thing, you might scoop out some oil. And Abihud again argues his matzah. Says, you know what, tzricha, why do we need both of these cases? Yashmi, if you only mush refer to Shabbay by neg, I would say, Baha Kamer Rabbanan, over here the Rabbanan, I'm Machmir, the key, when the line, the EC, no big deal, taking oil out of that egg, it's on top. I'll see this tapuka, there's a good chance you will use it. Avo shal cheder, but clay, the mi isa, it's mis. And you'll never be the maid, nobody's going to know shash. Yashmi, if you only move clay, Baha Kamer Abhuda, over here Abhuda says, why? Because he's not worried, nobody's going to take oil from that, you know, mi isa kavi. Avo bahi, but in the normal case of the egg, ain't no murder, the bunny's murder. We yashmin half of these two, bahani, kamer, abuza, abuza, said it, mishum, de lo, mifsi. If he said these two, abuza said mishum, de lo, mifsi, because he wasn't mafsik, because it's sort of right next to it, so therefore, Rabbi Huda is what? Is not really worried. Avo kaida, the mifsike, but a plate, which is totally separate, very easy for people to make a mistake and think he can use some oil. Ain't no murder, the bunny's murder, be geyser. Then he said, if you attach it in the beginning, if you attach it with plaster or with clay, but it says only the creator. So we say, my yates doesn't mean the creator. It means you, whoever it is, but you're as if you created by attaching it. Now what's the story of Rabbi Yehuda? Where did Rabbi Yehuda get this opinion from? Tanya, we learned. Omri Yudah Pamach is one, Shabbatayin is on Shabbat, Baliyas, Beis Mitzvah, Balubi upstairs, Vahidi Elon HaShofer HaShabayim, Malum HaShemen, Venakunim, the builders this egg, and they puncture it, Venachnu HaPianeh, they place it, Vahoy Shem HaTarfin, this Kaini, Vahoy Omri Yudah Pamach, all these elders are standing there, nobody said that, no, before Shabbos, don't do this, because it's wrong. So that's his proof, that's all right. Omri Yudah Pamach, Shomarai, that's your proof. Shaini Beis Mitzvah, this is his name. You know why these rabbis said nothing? Because they were aware, they were there, they were going to watch and monitor it. And if anybody would try to play with a the fire, they would have stopped them. That's why they said nothing. Then we'll tell the story of Avin Tiporoi Gora Safsola. He was once dragging a chair by Aliyosha the Shisha on the floor, made out of marble. Omar Lazar saw that. He said, Ish Tukilach, if I will be quiet and not chastise him, Kedishtikale, or he made a mistake because they were quiet and he misinterpreted their silence. Nothing mene chuba, a disaster will come out of it. Now, if you know, remember we learned if you drag a chair, it's a dover shemus kavan, totally unintentional. And Rav Shimon said it's all right. Rav Yehuda said it's not all right. So here he was dragging a chair, it was unintentional to make any holes. Furthermore, here was on marble, can't make any holes. But maybe we should make a gzeda. But if you allow him to drag a chair on marble, next time we drag a chair on the dirt. And Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said we should make that gzeda. Is therefore, he says, if I don't say anything, it will be a churban. Is gzeira alisa the shisha ot alisa dam? If we allow him to drag it on the marble, next time we drag it, stam. So therefore, he protested. Leish kanisha, the head of the shul, his job was to make sure there's enough chairs and everything else in the shul, and the kids have to sit. The batzer from batzer. Goro safsila, he dragged the chair. Leim rabbi merab, rabbi merab. Omalei kaman. He said to him, what do you follow, Rab Shimon? Aim of the Rab Shimon. Now here, normally we learn the argument of Rab Shimon and Rab. And Rabbi Yehuda is about Dabar Shem Miskavim. Here we have an interesting other interpretation. He said, this is Rabbi Mirabba said, when does Rabbi Shimon say that you're allowed to drag chairs, big golden large chairs, too heavy to carry, so therefore he allows you to drag it. The Loy Avshim, or B'tanim Yomah, when it comes to small chairs, Rabbi Shimon also says, why drag it? You might make holes. Don't drag. And therefore, or plead Ula, this, and therefore he was upset with this guy. This argued with Ula, because Amr Ula said, Machleik is B'tanim. He said the whole machlekes is only by small chairs. Because Rabbi Yehuda says you can carry it, I ask it. And Rabbi Shimon says it's very much kind of mutter. Avo the gedolim, but heavy chairs that you cannot carry. Regardless, divrei hakol, everyone holds mutter is mutter. Taisha said there's another gedusa that everyone holds it's aser because it's heavy. It definitely, if you're going to drag it, you're going to make holes like a psikration. But Taisha discounts that. Most of Rabbi Yehuda has a question. So you're telling me the whole argument is either small or large. Oh, that's a question. If you look clearly in the argument there, Rav Shimon says, greater than you let us drag mita, a bed. A bed is large. Kisev is afsala, small. A chair and a bench is small. So it makes no difference between large and small. As long as you have no intention to make any burrows in the ground. Tony gedolim, tony ktanim. Makes no difference. And yet you try to make a difference. Kashi le tavayu is a question on both. The Gemara says, Ulu metadas tamei, rabbi metadas tamei. Ulu answered according to himself, and Rabbi Yemei answered according to himself. Ulu metadas tamei, Ulu answered according to himself, mita dumi the kisa. A big, large bed is just like a chair. Rabbi Yemei, rabbi metadas tamei, Rabbi Yemei, rabbi answered according to himself, kisa dumi the mita. That a chair is like a bed. In other words, each one will learn according to him. Either we're talking about only small things, a bed, we're talking about a small, tiny bed. And the other one says, no, we're talking about large things, and the chair was a very large chair. Mostly, rabbi, rabbi asked a question. On Rabbi Yemei Rabbo, so you Rabbi Yemei Rabbo wants to say that by Tani, everyone agrees that you shouldn't drag it. So that's a question, because you have an alternative, just carry it. So that's a question. Moichlin Ksus, that those people who sell clothing, Moichlin Kedarkon, even if they have Kalayim, Shatnas, they're allowed to carry it to wear the clothes to show people what they're wearing. Make sure you're not doing it for any personal benefit. So in the summer, don't wear it to cool yourself down. Or in the rain, don't wear it next summer to protect you from the rain. But then it says about tznuyin. The tznuyin, those are very machmir, they wouldn't wear it at all, but rather mafshilun b'makor achrein, place on a stick and they would carry the stick on them. So there is an alternative here. Everyone could do like the string, there's an alternative. So therefore the chitangam is no different than small things which you can carry. And you have the chilam miskav and shot. If you had no intention, you're allowed to. Rabbi Shimon HaChil, he said you're allowed to. So to Yufta, it's a question with Rabbi Yimei Rabba. To Yufta, it's a good question. Next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, HaMechabes HaNei. Now we know that, you know, the machlek is regarding a malacha she'en atzich l'gufi. You're doing the malacha, you want it, but not for the ultimate purpose. Like Tosfos learns about Tzadik Dalet, the way the Mishkan did it, or like Rashi learns, you'd rather, if you had a choice of not having it at all, you'd rather avoid the whole thing. So when you extinguish, we'll see later that if you hold melocha she'en atzich l'gufa, you're potter. The only time you're chayiv for extinguishing a fire is if you're doing it for any purpose to make it dark in the room or whatever, that's a melocha she'en atzich l'gufa. Tzich l'gufa is only if you're doing it, you want the wick, for example, you're extinguishing it, either that it should burn better next time, or that you want the wick to turn into coal. Or something like that. So then you're doing it for its own purpose. So the mission says, the mechabes and extinguish a candle of nature, misyadet bnei melachim, you're worried about goyim, that it's dangerous. And Rashi explains they had this festival, we already had it before the Hanukkah, and they didn't allow anyone else to light candles in their midst. Or bnei listim, or because of robbers. Or bnei ruach ro, some kind of bad spirit. There's a fascinating pirush of Mishnah Yisrael Rambam here. That is used by the Poskim. The Pirush Haizal Rambam says, Ruach Ro is, he says, is an Arabic word which is melancholy. In other words, depression. And the Rambam says that depression is a sickness. So interesting that the Rambam, 900 years ago, already recognized mental illness as a disease which the world is only coming to recognize today. The halachically is considered a medical condition, and therefore we allow, you know, suspension of all kinds of laws in order to, because he's a chayla, he's recognized as a chayla, which is amazing. Now, chayla were just a physical sickness. Sheyishin they should sleep. Let's say you extinguish the candle because they would rather be in the dark. They want to go to sleep. Pata, you are pata. As we'll see later, because l'chayla, all of these are malocha she'ein etzich l'gufa, and that's pata. No, it's also the rabbanon, but for a sick person, or in these instances, we allow you. What about kochas on there? You have rachmanis, kochas on there. You have rachmanis on the candle. You want to save the oil for another on the candle for another time. You don't want the glass to break. Or kochas al shemen, you want to preserve the oil for another time. Kochas al psili, you want to preserve the wick for another time. Chayiv, you're a chayiv. Now that's hard to understand. That's a melacha sheitzil l'guf, and yet you're chayiv. Seems to be a contradiction here. We'll soon see. Rabbi Yosi poyte bekulin, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, the melacha l'guf is potter. Chutz min apsil, except for the case of the wick, you actually want the wick, you're lighting it and you're extinguishing it so that it should light better next time, or that it itself should become like a coal and should burn well. Okay, we'll start the beginning of the Gemara here. Midiktoni Sefer, it says in the Sefer, Chayiv, if you want to preserve the oil, obviously, Malacha Shein Tzil Guf is Chayiv. Shmam Lo Rabbi Yudi, the author of Mishnah Yudah. So Reisha, when you said that you're potter, what are we talking about? The Maya Signal, what are we talking about? We're talking about somebody sick and it's in danger. The mutter boy, why you use the word potter? Potter means, you know, really we don't want you to do it, but you know, but it should be mutter, because pekuach nefesh is mutter, for sure it's mutter. In fact, it's a mitzvah. Somebody who is no sekana, then chayiv chatzibay, then you have no right to be over it. If it's malacha shein zguf, if we're talking about nisa deraisa here, an isa derabanan we're making, but isa deraisa, then what right do you have to do it? Says Gemara, olam b'chol yish b'sakana. You're right. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a malacha shein zichel guf, but you hold your chayiv matayda. So why do we use the word potter if there's dying? We should say, and all the cases Rashi explains, whether we're talking about the goyim or the listim, it's all sakonas nefashas. So why is it potter? The dinu the listim mutter. You should have said mutter. But I did the boy list to say the chayiv to namirish a potter because it says the chayiv, it says the potter. Behold, the Tani Rab Oishir. This is what Rab Oishir said. Im b'shvil acholim sheyoshem lo yechaber. There's a brisa where the brisa says for a sick person you shouldn't extinguish the inkara, but you did. You're potter, aval osir, osir. If it's a chayim b'sakana, the chayim is mahatayda. It must be follows Rab Shimon. It is Rab Shimon who holds a malacha shein tzich legufa is potter. Okay, so we're going to have.